Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 4 of the Rich in Facts podcast. For this episode, I'll be joined by a very special guest. He is a native of Maryland, huge DC sports fan. He's a good friend of mine, former colleague of mine. And in this episode, we're talking DC sports. We're talking the NBA offseason, everything that's been going on with free agency. We're talking the NFL offseason. And you know, me and this guy are always going at it back and forth about sports. So it's going to be a great episode. But without further ado, let me introduce you to my man, my guy, Darrell Leeper, a.k.a. Dapper J. Now, normally Dapper J would, you know, give his intro and tell a little bit about himself. But unfortunately, that part of the episode got cut out. So we're just going to dive right into the episode. Without further ado, bang.
In Boston, but like as soon as it gets cold, it's just like everybody's just ready to go out in shorts. Like,
yeah,
we're just ready for that. But yeah, man, you know, I wanted to introduce my audience to you and let them get to know you a little more. So, you know, Darrell Leeper, he's a native of Maryland, you know, big DC sports fan. And Darrell, I really just want to know, you know, where did your passion for sports and journalism come from?
Passion for sports. I mean, the household I grew up with, both my parents, they love sports. They are both native Washingtonians, so they watched, you know, football, basketball. It's funny, like, football, Skins fan, but growing up, like, we used to watch a lot of Laker games. My dad, he was a big fan of Magic, so we used to watch, like, the Lakers. So the Shaq and Kobe Laker, like, I saw that. Like, I can vividly remember all of us sitting in the fan room when Robert Horry hit that shot over Chris Webber and then Western Conference off. But I remember that. You know, I've always been a hometown person. I repped the home team. So I remember when Jordan came back, you know, it was Wizards fans, and that's what it was. Baseball, I'm an Orioles fan because when I started watching the game, my first game, I got to see Kyrie play. So the Nats didn't come to D.C. till 2005. So we were going to Orioles games to the Nats game. And so I ride with the O's. When it comes to college, I write University of Miami and University of Maryland for football. And in basketball, it's Terps and anything else. And it's Terps. And then shout out A&T. That's my alma mater. So anytime they do big, you know, I go up too. And my love for journalism, I would say, started when I was 7 years old. I want to say 7 because I was 7 years old the first time I discovered what ESPN was. I don't remember like the day, I don't remember what they were talking about, but I was 7 years old and I've probably been watching some form of sports every day since that moment. My family and friends would buy me books. My favorite genre of books is autobiographies because I want to know what's real, like, you know, the fiction and sci-fi, that's cool, but I like real, based on a true story, that's what I like. So I read biographies of my favorite athletes, basketball players, football players, baseball players, soccer players, hockey players. I just read and just learn up on their stats, track and field. And I would be able to memorize these stats, figure it out, and that's how I kind of got into it. And I think towards high school, I wanted to do more. But I never was able to take TV, so when I got to college, I'm like, y'all, I'm in journalism, like, full-time. This is what I've been talking about my whole life. And I have a book from 7th grade. It's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I wrote, like, sports broadcasting. I wrote that in 7th grade. So that's kind of where it started. And, you know, A&T kind of molded me. North Carolina A&T, for folks who don't know, is in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's about an hour and a half from Charlotte, hour and a half from Raleigh, Durham. Raleigh's the capital of North Carolina. HBCU pride, you know. And I went there, molded my craft, and then I graduated May 2015. And October 2015, I started working at WJLA. And then that next summer is where I met Rich, and, you know, here we are. So it's all good.
Yeah, man. Being an intern at WJLA, my first internship, having to leave Boston to go there, and, like, great environment. Like, I love each and every one of you guys. You all really just treated me like fam, and I feel like I got such a great, you know, journalism experience. Just not with that internship, but just everything that that city had to offer, man. It was amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember because we would talk sports a lot, and you also, because I work mornings, and I still predominantly work mornings, but you would, you know, shadow mornings sometimes. So it's like, yo, this Rich, like, we cool. And the NABJ happened to be in D.C., so, you know, we was in on for that too, you know. I'll always cherish that ESPN mixer. That was, like, the coolest thing ever. I'm like, man, we green-eyed. And this mixer is just incredible. Like, everyone's out here kicking it, having a great time. We networking, people getting their drinks on. It was great.
Yo, that was lit. I remember that. Like, when you had to get, like, that special invite to the special.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I remember, like, yeah, I came in there with I met a couple of dudes that I met during the conference, and, like, I remember we all, like, kind of made a pact right before, like, things started. We were like, yo, like, we're all gonna scatter for like an hour, and we're gonna see how many business cards and how many network connections we can make. And that was fun, man. It was just a great vibe because it was like you're networking, but you're networking in an environment where it's like, okay, like you said, you can get your drinks on, you can just kind of chill with it, right, and just be casual. Like, just it was dope.
It was.
And it was exclusive too, so it wasn't like there were mad people. It was just like, all right, you have this select few group with this select few, you know, ESPN employees, hiring managers. It was kind of us and them, and it's just literally like, okay, you get to be yourself, but be yourself in a, like, professional, casual manner. It was nice.
Yeah, I agree.
Are you going to NABJ this year?
No, and it sucks because I've been the past 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, dang, I want to go again, but I'm going to trust the process where the, you know, Joel Embiid, with me getting my new promotion, I want to be able to, it shifted my off days, which are now Tuesdays and Wednesdays, so one, it gave me more money, but more importantly, it allowed my schedule to shift so I could, you know, shadow sports, because they worked me so hard in mornings, I really didn't have the time to, so I was like, now I'm going to give them my all. And then on the side, I still freelance. And then pretty much every Thursday, we do a sports show for the Focus TV. So at 7 o'clock, you can tune in on Facebook or my Instagram, The Only Dapper J, and, you know, watch. So that's what I'll be doing, man, just work on my craft and put in 10,000 hours, and something will shake.
Yeah, journalism is it's a 24/7 job. That's for sure. You don't sleep that much.
You really don't. People like you sound tired. I'm like, I'm always tired. I'm here. What's up? Like, my time is valuable at this point.
Man. So what days? You have, because when I was there, you were production assistant. So what's your schedule looking like now? You work weekends?
Yeah, I work weekends again, and I didn't all. So when we met, that was like the first time I was working weekends. But it was cool because I was still like out kind of wild. I'm not gonna lie, like I was out. But then I just did Monday to Friday, and now because my schedule is, you know what it is, where I'm off Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I work weekends again unless I take a vacation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
I got you. Yeah, man, those early morning shifts.
Who you telling, man? I live it, dog. It's crazy.
You know, it's crazy because I feel like it, like, rewires you, right? Because you probably go to sleep. Like, do you go to sleep early during the weekdays? And then, like when? Because like, it's weird because, like, if you're doing that, I guess, like, when you should do your Monday through Friday, what happens when you get to the weekend? Like, what's that adjustment like?
So, I'll say this, and this isn't recommended for everyone, you know, you showed like a little advisory sign before. They recommend for like Monday through Friday, we go to bed early, like 6, 7:30. Dude, we young. I can't go to bed that early. Like, mm-hmm. That's that's impossible for me. So ideally, I'm probably in bed like around 9:30. Yeah, like 9:30. And I wake up at like 3 and go in. On weekends, I don't have to be to work till 6:30. So I get like 2 hours more sleep. And this is the weekend, I just throw something on and just get ready. So it's cool. I mean, again, if I go out the night before, I might be hurt, but as long as I can make it to work, I'll be okay.
Yeah, being young and being in journalism, it's an interesting combination.
Right, because you want to work and grind, but you also want to make time for yourself. And that's something I've been learning.
Right. But yeah, man, let's get into some of these sports. So talk to me about the Washington Wizards. Like, what happened to you guys this postseason? I remember we were talking about this before they played the Raptors, and you were so confident that they were going to destroy the Raptors, and they got knocked out in six.
I mean, I feel like Toronto was a good team, and they definitely have more depth than we do. But if we're talking talent-wise, our starting five is better than their starting five. And what I expected was for us to, one, win game one. A team, Toronto, they never won a game one in their franchise. So to lose game one would have been so crushing to them. We had momentum for the rest of the series. That's one. But two, I never really respected Toronto. After we swept them, was it now 4 years ago, I don't respect them. It was like, yo, we clowned you guys. So you had to earn my respect, and they did. I feel like we couldn't create our own shot. And when Wall went out, you know, to get a breather, we were looking like a deer in headlights. No one was moving the ball. And ironically, us signing Ty Lawson, you know, from overseas, ended up being a great addition. But I feel like what we could have done, I mean, what we needed to do, we weren't able to do. And that was create our own opportunities and just score offensively. That, and then Gortat was just getting abused the entire series. Like, Yamahimi played better than Gortat. And Yamahimi's been trash for us the whole regular season. So it was just one of the things where, you know, it was a wake-up call, and we definitely shook up our roster. It's looking like for the better as long as everyone stays healthy. And yeah, but I was definitely disappointed because I expected a lot more from my team.
You know, when it comes to the Washington Wizards, man, it's like, even when I was in there for that one semester in D.C. in the spring, I just feel like this team, there's just something missing with them. Like, you have John Wall, you have Bradley Beal, you have Otto Porter. Like, it's the Eastern Conference, and the Wizards, you know, they've, with John Wall, they've never been higher than a 4 seed. They've never been to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, what's holding this team back?
I think just chemistry. Chemistry and a lack of focus. I say lack of focus because there's times we hit a groove where we're like, yo, we're looking like we could do something. And then we just won't be consistent. What great teams do, we don't do. And that's be consistent when we play with good teams and be consistent with the bad teams. It's like a DC sports thing. I'm going to bring my Redskins up. Redskins, we could play a team, and it's like, yo, we hung with the champs. We look all right. We can play a trash team that we should just destroy. And we get killed, and it's like, yo, where was that intensity from last week? That's what the Wizards would do. We would play a team. We play the Warriors. We played the Warriors, right? We were beating them by like 15. Then Draymond and Bradley Beal get into it. We lose momentum. We lose the game. Then we go to Sacramento and we get smacked. We play Utah. We lost by like 40. And it's like, come on, yo. This is Utah, who is a good team, without Rudy Gobert. You gonna tell me we scored under 70 points? Really, guys? Really? Okay. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's more like lack of intensity and focus. And then just chemistry. Like, it starts from the top, starts from our coach. It starts with John Wall. And it's just that we don't have no one I'm not saying John Wall's a bad leader. I think he's a solid leader. He's not an amazing leader. But it's just, there is something lacking. I just say it's more attention to detail and a lack of focus.
There's definitely something lacking. I mean, when John Wall missed, I think he missed like 37 games this season. And then, you know, the Wizards, they, you, like, you guys got in that little run where you went in, like, you know, 10 out of 13. And then you got guys like Gortat and Beal on Twitter saying, yeah, man, you know, great team win. Like, you know, they were throwing some shade at John Wall, pretty, kind of almost trying to say that they're better without him or they play better without him. And then, you know, they kind of came.
Without him.
Because yeah, I
what
mean.
We were doing as great as a job as we were doing. I think Scott Brooks even won Coach of the Month for that. We were, it was like, it's like saying you're preparing for a test. And then they hit you with like a section where you don't know anything. And you just so happen to be grind, like teaching yourself how to do the test in the middle of the test. And you're getting some of them right. So you're like, I'm actually nice out here. Then and this is like a group test, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say the person who's really the smartest in your group comes in late. And then once they come in late, you're like, thank God he's here. Now we can kind of relax because he's going to take care of us. That's what that was.
Yeah, and I mean, eventually, you know, they kind of came back down to earth. Like, they started losing some games and ended up being, like, you know, 15 and 12 without him. But I feel like, you know, when it comes to coaching, I've never been crazy about Scott Brooks. Because I always looked at Scott Brooks when he was in OKC as, like, you know, the biggest problem with me with KD and Russell was, especially in late-game situations, it just never felt like they were able to execute. And I always felt like as a coach, like Scott Brooks, all you got to do is just make sure they make the right plays at the right time, at those key moments. Because you already got the talent. You don't have to worry about that. But just make sure to clean up the mistakes. And I just feel like with John Wall, like, you know, going back to him for a second, like, he can be a knucklehead, man. I mean, like, his teammates don't love him. Like, it's obvious, you know. I think after a while they realize, okay, we kind of need this guy because we can't do it alone. But that doesn't mean you like him either. Like, I don't know if the – I feel like some of it's personal. At the same time, I feel like with John Wall, it's like, dude, like, we're all waiting for you to take that next step. And as a leader, but also as a player, like, if, you know, and I don't know if he, I can't say he's a great leader for that team because it's the East, bro. Like, it should not be that difficult for you to get higher than a 4 seed. And this guy is so talented. He can defend, you know, he can score, but he's never been a great 3-point shooter. And I feel like that hurts his game too. But at the same time, bro, like, it's, when you have players that are even thinking about, okay, we're better off without you, that's a problem. That's a problem. That would never happen with a guy like LeBron or, I mean, LeBron's a different type of player, but you wouldn't hear that about, you didn't hear the Celtics talking about how they were better without Kyrie. Maybe some media people and fans, but like, you never heard players think they were better without Kyrie. Like, they had that much respect for him and they understood, okay, this guy's our leader, but he's also a bad you-know-what. So it's just like, man.
No, and I agree. When it comes to Scott Brooks, the biggest problem when KD and Russ were together is they never moved the ball.
Nah.
They iso ball. So in the fourth quarter, it's like, all right, Russ, take over. Okay, KD, take over. Cool. Like, that was it. And here, and I don't know, this might perk some ears up, but, like, John Wall's a better point guard than Russell Westbrook. Not a better player, but a guard. Russ isn't a great point guard. He's a great player. He's not a great point guard. Triple doubles and all, he's not a great point guard. What I mean is, he doesn't have a natural vision. Like, John Wall, if you watch basketball, John Wall is really a top 5 point guard. I've always said this. People think I'm delusional. But look at how he plays. He's the pass first point guard. So John Wall is always willing to get, you know, his teammates better, get them involved in the game. We just don't have the shooters around like other players may have where they can knock down these shots. And in terms of how we lead in the locker room, that's what I'm talking about, chemistry. Like, we have a lot of egos. And these egos aren't even, like, validated. It's one thing if we won, like, a ring. Then you have a right to have an ego. You're a champion. We won a championship, and we ain't made it to a conference finals yet. See what I'm saying? So it's chemistry, too.
Yeah, you got to earn that respect. Like, even just going back to the last game of the regular season, And I was so glad you all lost that game, because I think had the way it was going, I think it had the Wizards won, it would have been Celtics-Wizards in the first round. Yo, I'm telling you, that was the one team between Washington, Milwaukee, and Miami. I didn't want to play the Wizards, because the rivalry that we had with y'all last year, and then the fact that we didn't have Kyrie for that series, and I felt like the Wizards matched up well because you're two all-stars. I didn't want that matchup, but the fact that the Wizards lost to Orlando was just like, they played down to their competition. Like you said, it's just like, you gotta, John Wall wants that respect. He's always talking about how he's underrated, he's not getting appreciated enough. Bro, you're in a big enough market, but you just gotta get there. You know what I mean? You gotta rally the troops. You gotta earn your respect. You gotta earn your respect to get to that point. And I'm just like, it's mental, and it's just also it's knowing how to be a leader. You know what I mean? Like, he has the skill. I think he'd be better if he could shoot better, but you know, I feel like leadership's a part of it too. I think leadership might actually be bigger, a little bit bigger than the fact that he can't hit a 3-point shot. But barely.
No, that's fair. That's a fair assessment.
I think it's 50-50. I mean, you said he's a top five point guard. So who would your top five be? Because I still feel like what's holding him, I still feel like the 3-point shot is a big thing for him. I feel like when you're a point guard in this NBA and you can't hit 3-pointers, bro, it's tough to be a dominant point guard when you can't hit threes. Like, This isn't even like 2010 anymore. You know what I mean, bro? Like, you gotta have a 3-point shot when you're that size.
I mean, the best point guard, you don't need to have a, because Russ, like, again, we talk about Russ, he's not a great 3-point shooter at all. He's cool, he's streaky, but Russ is just so athletic and so dominant. That's why he's great. But top five in no order, you put Steph Curry, you put Russ. I mean, honestly, like, we really want to keep it a buck. That's really it. That, to me, that's better. But Kyrie's top five, Wall, and what, Chris? That's it. Dame's not better because Dame doesn't play defense. He's a great scorer. Kemba, great scorer. They don't play D like John Wall. They're not better passers than John Wall. All they do is shoot better. I remember I was debating Boston fans, and I think I debated you. He was like, yo, Isaiah Thomas is better than John Wall. Isaiah Thomas cannot play an ounce of defense. Brad Stevens just had an amazing scheme where it made him look like he was a solid defender. He wasn't. He can score, though. He's a better scorer. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
So you'll take the ability to pass over scoring. Because my thing is, okay, I'll give you this, right? IT, his situation, IT was different because Brad Stevens built a system around IT where he said, I'm pretty much going to surround you with 3-and-D players so we don't have to put the bulk of the defense on you. We're just going to focus on giving you the ball, and you're going to be a 29-point scorer, and these guys will just be wing defenders and 3-point shooters. John Wall is a better pure player than Isaiah Thomas. John Wall doesn't need a scheme to be effective, right? But as far as like video game Dame, I'll be honest with you, bro. I will take Dame over Wall because I just feel like the most important thing in basketball, bro, is scoring. If you're a point guard, bro, just like, I just need you to score for me. Steph Curry's not a great defender, but I'll take Steph Curry over John Wall.
Steph Curry's not a great defender, but he's a better defender than Dame. You saw what happened. They took away scoring in the playoffs, and they got swept. When you see the Wizards get swept? Never. Not with John Wall playing.
I mean, we're talking about the Western Conference, though, bro.
Bro, Drew Holiday was the real MVP. I was telling folks at work, I was like, okay, Anthony Davis is going to get his. That's not a problem. It's the guard matchup. If Drew Holiday and Rondo strap Dame and CJ, it's over. They never recovered because all the Blazers have were guards. Once that was neutralized, you're going to have Nurkic on AD? That's a joke. That was the series. That doesn't happen with Wall. Wall isn't getting strapped by Drew Holiday or Rondo. And I'm not saying they're trash guard. Like, Rondo and Drew, they're dope players. They're not John Wall. Like, John Wall doesn't have a consistent three. Cool. I get that. His mid-range, shaky at times. Cool. I can pass, rebound. I can still average 20 a game. And I can get you two steals and a block. In the playoffs, he was averaging 25, 12, 6, 2, and 1. That's ridiculous. Without a shot. And you going to take Dame over that? Yeah, okay. You got it. You got it.
I mean, y'all know, man, whether you get swept or whether you get beat in six, I still look at it as like a first-round exit. Like, I mean,
it's a first-round exit, but it was pathetic. You knew after game two, yeah, this series is over. Like, they're not winning. And that's exactly what happened. I take John Wall because, again, Dame can score, and that's cool. What else does Damian do? Damian is not a better passer. He's not. I'm a point guard. A point guard is supposed to be the leader, the general, the floor general, the one who makes your team go. All Dame does is get buckets, which is fine. But if you don't have a great coach and a team around that, that's pointless.
Yeah.
And that's why John's better than Dame. Steph being better than Wall? Absolutely. Russ being better? Absolutely. That's it. If you really want to keep it a buck.
Man, bro, we're gonna have to agree to disagree on that, cause I mean, you said John Wall's better than Kyrie Irving, man. Like,
Okay, Kyrie just started playing defense because he has a really good coach who's starting to enforce defense. Cause Kyrie didn't play not one lick of defense in Cleveland. His team was horrible before LeBron got there. What were they doing? Okay, then.
I mean, they were trash, but
Kyrie,
I feel like
he wasn't passing the ball. He wasn't rebounding. All he was doing was getting buckets, which is fine. That's it. What else is he doing?
That's a lot, bro. If you can score, bro. What else do you... Here's my thing. Like, you can have... You don't... I feel like as a point guard now, you don't... I mean, Steph Curry's not a great passer either. But I feel like if you have someone...
Steph is a dope passer. He just doesn't get that credit because he's the greatest shooter we've ever seen. Steph out-rebounded Dwight Howard in a playoff series, dog. Like, that happened. Steph's a really good point guard. It just so happens he's the greatest shooter ever. So it doesn't get the looks it deserves. There's levels to it. I'm taking John Wall over anybody in the East. Like I said, other than Steph and Russ, no one better than John. But the thing is, he doesn't get that credit because we don't have the wins to prove it. You picking Dame over him. And Kyrie definitely played a lot better. Last year, he definitely had a better season than John. Not even gonna lie, like he didn't. But we're talking career-wise, I'm taking John. Kyrie just scores more. And Kyrie has the mama mentality. I know you're a Celtics fan, but you gotta call a spade a spade. To me, he's a direct descendant of Kobe. But that's a whole nother podcast for another day.
I know. I'm gonna have to get back to you on that one, cause but I like the mama mentality because you know it's one of those things where when you're that kind of clutch player, bro, it changes everything. Like when you can do it when it matters most as a great player, like that's when you get like. This is something.
I mean, I'll say this on the podcast, and if you want to address it now or later, you can. I'll let you choose. I told my friends like, yo, Kyrie's like the new AI. And I was like, nah, he's like Kobe. Kobe? How is he like Kobe? I'm like, guys, he acts just like young Kobe. He reminds me of the number 8 Kobe. He's the killer. And I told you, like, nah, prove it. I'm like, okay. When Kyrie hit the shot and he won it in Golden State, you know the first person he called Kobe. And then Kobe, even if you play 2K, last year he was like, Kyrie's fundamentals is something like I strive when I was his age. I was trying to get like that. Like his game is unguardable. That's what he wanted. He's a killer. Like that's his job is just to attack. And you give him that, it's invincible. That's why LeBron went back. Because LeBron was like, I'm going to take the Shaq approach. I'm going to dominate quarters 1 through 3. And then Kobe take us home. Then Kobe got really great, and it was like, all right, now who's trying to do what? And that's what happened with Kyrie and LeBron. The same thing. So we're talking scoring, yes. Kyrie has to do a lot more other things, and that's why I still put John ahead, because Kyrie's not an excellent defender. He can defend, but he never did. It's like James Harden, you know? And in rebounding and passing, Kyrie can do those things, but he doesn't. And that's why I said more.
So, I mean, talk to me about some of the Wizards' moves this how do you feel about some of the moves they made this offseason? I mean, y'all signed Dwight. You know, you traded Marcin Gortat for Austin Rivers. Now you have another guard there, and you drafted we can go through one by one. I'm not going to tell you the answer all at once, but I'm just thinking about some of the moves you made, like trading for Austin Rivers, you know, bringing Dwight to D.C.
I'll say this. You know, I was actually in the sports department when all of this stuff was happening both times. So we got Austin Rivers. I was actually with one of the new interns. We were eating at District Taco. And we just kicking it. And he was like, yo, we traded Gortat. And I was like, for real? For who? Austin Rivers. That's it? Really? Like, we really did that? But then I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? This isn't bad. Austin Rivers isn't starting over Bradley Beal. So that gives our bench scoring opportunity, something we didn't have last year, and we would have desperately needed in the postseason. So I'm like, cool. But I know at this point we need a big, because Yan Mahimi is not a quality starting center in the NBA. Then our GM, Ernie Grunfeld, told the press, Yan Mahimi is a quality starting center in the NBA. I lost my mind. I was like, are you serious? If we go in the season with him as our starting center, I'm going to lose it. So the thing is, Dwight isn't bad. And with John Wall, it would actually be fun to watch. However, I wanted Boogie or Nerlens Noel. I see Noel get picked up by the Thunder. I'm disappointed. I'm like, okay, but maybe we're going to get Boogie. Maybe we're going to use the Kentucky John Wall connect, and we're going to do our part. So we're getting ready for Sports Talk, and for those who are listening, Sports Talk is a show that happens at my job every day at 9 p.m., where one of the sports reporters, they host the show. We have callers, et cetera, et cetera. It's 8:45, so I just finished eating. I'm headed back. See one of my guys. I'm like, yo, what up? And he was like, yo, DeMarcus Cousins is going. So as he's saying this, I'm thinking the Lakers, because, you know, they were talking about him going to the Lakers. Or maybe the Lord bless me and he's going to the Wizards. And this guy was like, he's going to the Warriors. So when I heard it, I was like, yeah, wait, no, no, no. Like, Rich, when I tell you, we were so blown doing the show. They even had in the prompter, they weren't even ready for it. They still had, odds of DeMarcus Cousins going to the Lakers. That's how shocking it was. It wasn't even changed yet. Nice. Like, that threw me off. And again, and we also got Jeff Green. That's also a really good piece, because he can either start over Morris or he has another bench depth. So when you look at our roster, it's actually solid. We can play a lot. We have a lot of versatility on our bench. And when we play small ball, we have a lot of options to play with. I'm excited about that. It's how we got to it that I didn't like, but the outcome is surprisingly decent. I'm not saying we're world beaters. I'm not saying, yo, Wizards, NBA Finals champions, we did it. Nah. However, we going to make some noise. I'll leave it at that.
Man. It's interesting because, like, I like the depth that you guys seem to be bringing out, right? I think Austin Rivers is going to be good to have another guard that can do some real scoring off the bench, like, you know, that might be better than Ty Lawson, because I feel like with Austin Rivers, he's scrappy too, right? So he's going to be physical. He's going to be in your face. I think the Wizards, I mean, you guys have some dogs on that team. Like, John Wall is a dog. Like, you know, Markieff Morris is a dog. But you always can use another dog, right, off the bench. Like, just someone that's going to, like, yo, just, like, bring that energy when those starters are out. So, I think having Austin Rivers is going to be good for the culture. I think D.C. needs a little – you guys need a little more of that, like, you know what I mean? That guy who's just going to, like, get in someone's face, let you know, like, yo, this is my house. Like, not this season. But the kid, I mean, before you're in the Wizards, I'm just curious about the kid. What do you think about the kid they got, Troy Brown?
Troy Brown, again, when you look at it in hindsight, it's not bad. But when you see it in real time, you get frustrated because you want more than what you're given. So my favorite player in this draft, since I really watched this kid in high school, has been Michael Porter Jr. I think when he's healthy, because it was a freak injury, he'll be the best player that comes out of this draft. So, because of his injury, he's falling. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Yo, so-and-so, like Philly's about to get Michael Porter Jr. Yo, Charlotte's about to get Michael Porter Jr. Yo, he's passed on him? Are the Wizards really about to get my favorite player in the whole draft? Like, is the Lord really shining his light on me and my team? And then he gets drafted a pick before us by the Denver Nuggets. Man, I feel like Knicks fans when they were going to get Steph Curry, and then the Warriors were like, nah, we'll take him, man. You saw what happened. So I'm thinking, all right, either we're going to get Lonnie Walker or we're going to get a Robert Mitchell, because we need a big. And then we get Troy Brown, and I'm like, really? Really? Like, we really got him? Really, guys? That's what we needed? And again, I'm angry at Ernie Grunfeld. I'm like, he's trash, and we get him out of here. Then I realize what he can do. Troy Brown is a wing, 6'7", but he grew into that height senior in high school. He's a point guard. So already he has ball handling ability, which means he can create his own shot, which was something we needed last season. Floor general, can play three positions, can defend three positions. We'll see how he pans out. But when you look at it in totality after the dust settles, like, this isn't bad. But initially, yeah, nah, I was mad. I was not feeling it at all.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a fun season, man. So, the Eastern Conference, actually, why don't we, I feel like we got a lot about the Wizards and the Celtics. So, why don't we talk about NBA free agency as a whole? Like, what do you think about LeBron choosing the Lakers? I think when we talked last time, you didn't think he was going to L.A., did you? You thought he was going to stay in Cleveland?
No.
You said, I think you said Houston.
I didn't know. When before free agency started, I was like, I don't see him staying in Cleveland. But I didn't know where. I was thinking West, I was thinking Houston. I didn't think LA. So what I think about this move is, honestly, it's not to win a championship. If it happens, that's cool. But it's going to give LA the culture of winning again, because they're going to be a playoff contender. That's one. Two, it definitely expands his brand, LeBron's brand, for the future, both on and off the court. I mean, his off-the-court ventures, he's trying to make a lot of money. He wants to be a billionaire before he retires. So there's a lot of opportunities in L.A., and I feel like he can do a really good job with his video production company, with his investments in the pizza chains. He has a whole bunch of stuff. His sports agency, like, he has a whole bunch of things in the works. So I definitely see that as a positive. Also, his son's going to an elite private school, because to me, in 5 years, 5-6 years, he'll be in the NBA. And I think Bronny's that good. So from that standpoint, I understood it. I'm definitely intrigued to see how he plays as a team, like how that team gels. It's also hilarious because LeBron and Kobe were the two best players, you know, of this era. And, well, the two, like, most riveting players, I'll say that, because you could argue Tim Duncan is the best. But that's, again, another story another day. And because of LeBron and Kobe being paired up so much, their fans hate each other. Like, Bron fans don't like Kobe fans, which means Bron fans don't like Laker fans. And Kobe fans didn't like LeBron, which means whatever team LeBron was on, they hated. They didn't like Miami. They didn't like Cleveland. So now that they have to join forces, man, it's wild. And then, since Kyrie's with the Celtics, that Celtics-Lakers rivalry, that's back. That's back in full effect.
Yeah, absolutely, man. The Celtics-Lakers is at its best when it's in the NBA Finals. So, you know, I mean, when you think about LeBron's move, how do you feel like that? What do you think is going to happen in that first year in L.A.? So they signed Rondo. They got JaVale McGee. They got Lance Stephenson. You know, Lonzo Ball's still there. Like, what do you expect from this team coming into the season? You think they're going to make a move for Kawhi? Like, what do you see the Lakers' potential? Because, I mean, you don't think LeBron's going there to win a championship, but I think he can win there, but I don't think it's something where it's going to happen in the first year, and it might not even happen the second. I think he's really going to be looking at – well, I think he'll really – hoping that they get two free agents in, you know, 2019. I think he's really going for that second, third year, and hopefully the fourth. Like, I
– yeah, and I agree. I don't think this team right now is good enough to win a championship. They're good enough to make the playoffs with LeBron, definitely. But I don't think they're good enough to win a championship. As for Kawhi, Greg Popovich isn't an idiot. There's no way Kawhi is going to the Lakers unless they give up everybody. And the Lakers aren't going to do that. So Kawhi is not going to go this season. Now, next season when he's a free agent, who knows? But this year, nah, I don't see that happening.
So what do you think of the Kawhi situation? Like, do you think, when you look at what happened last season, do you think he was really hurt? Like, what, from your perspective, what happened? What's going on? What happened in San Antonio? Like, what's up? Like, what's going on? Who do you think is telling the truth? Who's lying? You know, like, what's going on down there?
Well, one, I don't think Kawhi's lying. Something isn't being told. And since Kawhi is such a quiet individual, he's not going to be the one to blast his team. But from what I was told, They somehow wronged him. I don't know how they wronged him, but they did. And the fact that they did it is why he wants to leave. Was he really injured? That, I don't know. It doesn't look like he was, but, you know, I don't know this man's physical strength and capabilities. It's definitely interesting because the Spurs, within the last 20 years, they've been the model franchise. Like, you've never really heard anyone complain about San Antonio. It's peaceful. It's a beautiful city. The fans are great. They win. They're always competitive. So it's definitely like an eyebrow raising. When you're like, really? You only the Spurs? They wronged you? You? Really? You know, so intriguing to say the least. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, what's the end of it? I mean, Lonnie Walker would be a cool replacement for Kawhi. It's sad because you never seen this happen with San Antonio. So you wonder how they're going to bounce back.
It's tough. Like, I can't picture San Antonio not being relevant, you know? Like,
right.
Kawhi, it's crazy because Kawhi just seems like he fits San Antonio so well. Honestly, maybe even... dare I say, maybe even better than Duncan. Duncan was a quiet guy too, but Kawhi doesn't talk, bro. Like, Kawhi does not talk. He just does his job. He does everything the way, or he's done everything the way the Spurs have wanted him to. And crazy thing is, like, he won a championship early. And when you win a championship early as a superstar, it's very hard. It's very rare that people really start to look at you in, like, a negative light because they grew up with you already as a champion, so it's difficult to kind of look at you from a negative perspective. But, man, it's like, it feels like just yesterday they won a title, and we were thinking, okay, like, with Kawhi and maybe even Aldridge, when they go, Aldridge, okay, maybe they can go for another one. All of a sudden, it's like, you had your success with a Duncan, and now he wants out. And Ginobili and Parker are pretty much, like, on their last legs. Like, what's going to happen? Is Pop just going to walk away when it's all said and done? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
But DeMar, and let's bring up Boogie for a second. So, you know, the fact that you guys are so ready to have, like, you guys had the odds thing ready to go, and Boogie signs with the Warriors. I mean, like just Golden State. It just seems like they can't lose at this point. What do you think of him going there? And just the fact that Golden State just seems to get everybody these days.
Well, one, it dropped the bomb on the entire league. It's one. Two, at first you can kind of get mad, but then you can't get mad. And the reason you can't get mad is because no one offered him a max. Like, no one offered him a deal. So it's legit like, all right, Rich, let's say you all things Boston, right?
Yeah.
You chilling, minding your own business. And you get a call from Tom Brady, and he's like, I want you to interview me. And you get the interview of a lifetime. We can't get mad at you that you did the interview. No one else wanted to interview Tom. So you did it. That's what happened. And that's what's like, and that made me mad, because it's like, how, as a Wizards front office, do we not even talk to DeMarcus? Like, how do we not do that? Really, guys? Like, that's what hurt me. If he said, you know, the Wizards were interested, but I want to go to Warriors, fine. Cool, you got it. No one even offered you anything. He called Bob Myers, the Warriors GM. They weren't even going to get him. They were going to get Tariq Evans. They were going to get Tariq because they needed more wing depth. DeMarcus calls them, and it's like, really? Let me talk to the team about it. Hey, yo, let's get it. And that's what happened. It's chess, not checkers, man. And people say, oh, the league's unwatchable. Guys, let's stop this now. We want to talk about sports. The NBA historically has always been dominant by a couple teams. Everyone has a run. It is what it is. NFL is a lot more parity. Baseball is parity. Hockey, there's parity. NBA, you kind of go into season knowing one of these four teams are going to win. What made the Warriors such an anomaly is because they were okay in 2014. Then in 2015, they won 67 games, and they're like, yo, is this team really this good enough to do it? And then they did it, and you're like, wow, they really did it. We watched them from being beloved underdogs to iconic villains in a blink of an eye. There was a time everyone loved Golden State. Now you hate them. They became the Yankees in like 2 years.
3 out of 4, bro. I'm telling you, though, when I look at the Warriors' run, like you said, it's just crazy. Because I remember my first year of college, 2014, watching the Warriors go down in 7 against the Clippers. And they're talking about how they're not sure if they're going to keep Mark Jackson. I'm like, yo, if y'all get rid of Mark Jackson, you're tripping. Like, you can't get rid of Mark. And then they bring in Steve Kerr, and next thing you know, boom. Like, they win 67 games, and
they got instantly better. Instantly.
And no one in the league was ready for that. It was like, I remember going into that season, the storyline was, okay, LeBron's going back to Cleveland, right? And he's got his big three. LeBron got that big three together. We're thinking, okay, it's either going to be Braun against the Spurs again, or it's going to be Braun against OKC and, like, you know, KD and Westbrook. But the fact that Golden State came out of nowhere, and, I mean, fortunately for them, a lot of things did come together at the right time. Like, when they won that first championship, you know, they got criticized with it. But, I mean, it's true. Like, you know, that first championship run, you know, they got lucky that Cleveland's, you know, two stars went down. And then, you know, that in that postseason, I think the Clippers played the Spurs, and they took each other out, and then the Warriors didn't have to play either one of them. I'm not saying they would have lost to them, but it would have been a different road. But, you know, they did a lot of that stuff from, you know, the inside, drafting Steph, drafting Clay. And then they would bring in free agents to kind of, like, you know, mold their roster. They just, like,
they did it the smart way.
They built it from the inside out.
Man, you got to think. I saw someone was like, yo, as a GM, your goal is to win it by any means necessary. You're not trying to be buddy-buddy. Two best GMs is Bob Myers and Danny Ainge. They leap years ahead of everyone else. If we not playing catch-up, then oh well, we're going to get smoked. You can't get mad at them. We can't get mad at Danny Ainge developed a scheme to get all these first-round picks, lottery first-round picks. We get mad at everyone else, but because the Warriors, we hate them. They're just winning right now, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like, they're just doing their thing. I'd put Sam Presti in there, too. I think he's done a really good job bringing in talent. He hasn't always been great at retaining it. I mean, you still got...
That's his fault. That's why to me he's third. Like, Sam Presti successfully drafted 3 straight MVPs in 3 years. 2 of them are gone because you didn't want to sign a luxury tax. You sign a luxury tax, the Warriors don't happen. They don't. They really don't.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just like, were you surprised that Paul George stayed in OKC, though?
I was. And that's what made me unsure that LeBron was going to L.A. Because I'm thinking, Paul's been talking, pretty much saying, like, I'm down to go to L.A. I love L.A. It's my home. I always want to be a Laker. So when he stayed, I'm like, so who's joining LeBron? Because I knew Kawhi wasn't going to be a short thing unless the Lakers gave up everybody. So when LeBron still went, I was like, okay, it's not about the rings at this point. It's about something bigger.
Yeah, he's trying to get ready for Hollywood.
Is there?
Yeah. But all right, man, I want to get this thing back to your area expertise, man. Let's get this back to D.C., the Washington Capitals, man, winning their first ever championship last month. Ovechkin getting his first ring. I mean, Jarrell, that run was crazy. Just the fact that they were down 2-0 against Columbia, down 1-0 against Pittsburgh, and the curse, and just how Pittsburgh was kind of the team in the Caps' way, and then winning that game 7 on the road against Tampa, and then being down 1-0 against Vegas. Like, what was it like watching the Capitals this season, from the regular season, the postseason, just like the championship run? It's just like, man, like what's going on? Like what happened this year?
Man, it's that moment. That was something beautiful to watch. So in years past, and you've been in DC, so you know the Caps have always been one of the best teams. They've always been predicted to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals or even win it. And we've choked a lot, most of the time in Pittsburgh. So this year they told us, it was like, they're not going to make the playoffs. Barry Trotz on the hot seat. The whole year he was on the hot seat. And, you know, we actually win, we make the playoffs. Oh, we'll probably make it to the second round. So the Columbus Jackets were down 2-0. Up, here we go. Come back and win. Then we're down 2-1. We're down 2-1 to the Penguins. And it's just like, man, again? And I was like, guys, this feels different. This is our time. I felt like Scott Abraham and myself were like the only two in the newsroom that were really on the vision. I'm like, hey, yo, we're really about to win it all. Like, I feel it. Once we beat Pittsburgh, I was like, that's it. We're going all the way. Like, at that moment right there, I'm like, I'm tired of Sidney Crosby. I've hated this dude for a long time. It's our time. Then we're down 3-2 against Tampa Bay. We go up 2-0, then down 3-2. And I'm like, you know, we're going to win. Oh, we're about to lose. Nah. We came too far for this. We won, then we in Stanley Cup Finals, then we're down 1-0, and the win 4 straight. And I was at the viewing party for Game 5. It's the greatest sporting event I've ever been a part of, ever in my entire life. To see that happen, how it happened, I had no sleep that night. We were supposed to do a podcast that the next day. I crashed and burned in my bed for like 6 hours. I woke up and saw Game 4. That's how that happened. The parade was beautiful, man. And that's the first time I got to see a parade and be a part of one. That's a moment I always cherish because, to me, our area has been deprived of a ring. I've had to enjoy a championship through my friend's eyes and through these documentaries I watch. But I got to finally live one and see one. And that right there, man, it made it so beautiful, dog. It was incredible. The best sporting event I've ever been to in my life.
Man, you know, just for Obi's legacy, just what does that mean for the city? I know how bad that city wanted a championship, and just for Obi, like, you could see how happy this dude was when he won it, and just, you know, videos of him swimming in the sprinkler, you know, chugging beer out of the, you know, the Stanley Cup, sleeping with the cup and posting pics on the gram. It's just like, man. Like, what did that championship mean for Obi? What does that mean for his legacy? What did that mean for that city?
I mean, it gave us hope. You had everyone rocking the red. I mean, people who don't watch hockey were, like, watching hockey, were wearing the jerseys. Speaking of jerseys, we get paid tomorrow, so I'm going to get my Ovechkin jersey. I told myself, I'm like, I'm not going to buy a jersey till we win it all. Once we win it all, I'm dropping whatever to get that stitching Stanley Cup, like, finals patch. So I'm going to drop the bread for that. The area, I'm telling you, dog, like, just, you see the different tags. Work was exciting. Just walking around, like, Capital One Arena, just downtown D.C., everyone was hype. Everyone was lit. It was beautiful, start to finish. That whole ride, that journey, a lot of ups and downs. And I think it was more beautiful because when you expected, again, you're a Boston fan. So the years you expected to win the title, those years are dope because it's like, A, we set out to be the best. We were predicted to be the best. Guess what? We're the best. But the years where you're not supposed to be that great, we're like, oh, you're cool, but you're not going to be that. You are all right. And then your all right year is the year you win it. It's no better feeling, man. No better feeling.
Yeah, I agree. Winning as the underdog just has a different feeling to it because there's usually this closer games. It can be more competitive, and then it's like the anxiety and just the tightness of it. Just it feels better. It's like the tighter the game is, the closer it is, the more beautiful the outcome. Like you always remember the tight close games or just the tight kind of series more than the easy sort of blowout championship runs. You remember the close ones much better because the game's longer and you're going through the emotions longer. So I hear that 100%.
Yeah, man, it was beautiful, man.
Yeah, I still have my OB t-shirt in my closet, but I mean, I would love to get a jersey over a t-shirt, so I feel you like that. I love hockey jerseys. But let's get to the third team in the D.C. area, the Washington Redskins, man. You know, fourth in the NFC. I mean, a lot of things have happened, right? I mean, they were fourth in the NFC East last season, but the whole Kirk Cousins saga, you guys finally let this man go, and he signs a three-year, $84 million deal with the Vikings.
So, all guaranteed, by the way.
All guaranteed, which is insane. And it was pretty much cat and mouse between Kirk Cousins and the Redskins for a couple years. So, I mean, what? I never felt like Kirk Cousins got the love I feel like he deserved in D.C. But, like, you know, I want your perspective. What'd you think about him signing with the Vikings?
Once we got Alex Smith, I knew he was gone. Going to Minnesota, that's cool. I think with Minnesota, he has to win a title or it means nothing. He has the first all-guaranteed contract in the history of the league. He has to win a championship, or it means nothing. Because if he wins, then players down the line can get all-guaranteed contracts. So that's important. I'm disappointed. I mean, I like Kirk Cousins. He's statistically the greatest quarterback we've ever had in our history. But again, the year we should have signed him was 2 years ago. And he was down to do that. But we kept egging him on and all that stuff, and that was unprofessional on our part. And then, of course, the man went from making $600,000 to $18 million, then $24 million, and the next year's going to be $33 million. Like, you do those math, you do the numbers. That's ridiculous, and that's guaranteed by the end. You know, so just seeing that, and I'll say some of the games we lost was not Kirk Cousins' fault, 100%. Like, there's sometimes we put ourselves in a position to win, and someone let us down that wasn't him. But the times that they were him are glaring, and they were always in a bigger moment. Perfect example, a game where we should have made the playoffs. We were playing the New York Giants at home. They had nothing to play for. They clinched the division. And in the second half, they pretty much put their twos in. Kirk threw three picks at home. We lost. And we didn't make the playoffs. So it's stuff like that where you're like, come on, bro. But then there's other games where you score a touchdown with a minute to go in the game and you think we got it, and then our defense gives it up. But that goes on Kirk somehow, right? And that's what I'm saying is the fairness wasn't as concrete as it should have been. But, you know, I wish Kirk the best of luck. I know he's a good quarterback. A good quarterback when he has a good piece around him or pieces around him, he'll be fine.
And speaking of pieces, you know, so the Redskins, you know, you got Alex Smith. So as far as Alex Smith goes, what do you think is going to be different having him in there as opposed to Kirk Cousins? And you also signed, you know, Paul Richardson. You got Skandrick. Like, you know, yeah, you have some new pieces that you got in free agency. So what do you think is going to be different with the team this year?
Well, if Paul Richardson can be that explosive wide receiver, we can do more with our offensive aerial attack. Because if Paul stretches the field, that means Crowder gets more touches. Reed stays healthy, he'll get a lot more touches, which opens up our backfield. Chris Thompson, best third down back in the game. Darius Geis can run, catch, block, gives us more weapons to throw to. Vernon Davis is still serviceable. Dodson, I think, is only going to get better. He just needs more looks. Offensively, I think we should be fine. And defensively, we were dead last in a rush defense. And some of it had to do with, you know, just our team being injured. We caught the injury bug, something serious. But getting Deron Payne, you know, to match up with our big guys up front. And the more depth we have, you know, at our linebacking position, I think we'll be fine. Like, we just got to stay healthy. We stay healthy, I think the Redskins can and will surprise some people this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Redskins are going to need a little more than just help. I mean, the injury bug was there. I'll give you that. But man, like, Alex Smith, he's coming off a really good season. He was finally able to push the ball down the field. When I look at, I think what he's going to bring is consistency, right? Because, I feel like with Kirk, I feel like has a higher ceiling as far as him being able to consistently push the ball down the field. I think Kirk has a better arm. But I think what hurt Kirk, you know, was losing DeSean Jackson, losing Pierre Garçon. You know, Kirk needed DeSean as that deep threat, and Kirk needed Pierre Garçon, that guy, just to, you know, get everything over the middle, make that getting like the easy catches. And I think that hurt him a little bit last year.
It did hurt us because his safety blankets left, and then Jordan Reed was out.
Jordan Reed was out for a lot.
When you have a safety blanket and they all leave or are injured, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, they had like a bazillion different combinations on the offensive line this year too.
Yeah.
Man,
it says all injuries, man.
So what'd you think about their draft? Because they pretty much went all defense. But you got Darius Geis in. What do you think about him being paired up with Chris Thompson? Because, you know, Thompson's the third down guy, but it looks like, you know, Geist could be that, you know, pound the rock guy on first and second down to, you know, really give the Redskins that running game that I feel like they haven't had, you know, in a little bit.
I mean, I feel like with our draft, we were able to we got the depth we needed. Deron Payne with Jonathan Allen, that's really going to be Alabama all over again. I'm definitely hyped for that. Guys, especially from where we got him, like the pick we got him, second round, 59th overall, that's going to be crazy. I know we got another safety from Penn State. It'll be good. Let's look at the rest of our draft. I just feel like another thing with our draft, it was very defense heavy. And that's something we needed. We had to answer all our questions because defensively we were not good. We were not good at all. We got another offensive lineman from Louisville. Jerron Christian, that's important. Like I said, we got safety from Penn State, a D tackle from Virginia Tech, a middle linebacker from Alabama. Like, we needed defense. So I think we'll be all right, man. I think we'll be all right. A lot more than giving credit.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an uphill battle for sure. 28th in rushing yards. 27th in points, you know, last in rush defense. So there's a lot of strides. But, you know, compare that to the – what do you think about the rest of the NFC East? You know, you think about the Cowboys last year and kind of like the chaos they went through without Zeke. And then, you know, let's start with the Philadelphia Eagles. So what was it like watching the Philadelphia Eagles put it all together this year? That team in the NFC East that, you know, was always getting – you know, clowned on for not having the championship. What was it like watching them all put it together this year?
Even it with the injury to Carson. It was bittersweet because you never want them to win, ever. Like, I wanted those no ring jokes to last forever. I mean, in a way, I respected it, though. I wasn't hating. Like, once they won, it was just like, you know, congrats. Because to me, Carson Wentz, if he didn't go down, was the most viable player in the league. Like, what he was able to do was incredible this year, and it was sickening because you realize, you know, you got to go up against this guy for the next few years easy. But no, it was cool. I mean, to me, they had the defense. They've always had a really good defense, and Malcolm Jenkins is one of the best safeties in football. But their offense was always and that's because their receivers were in. But they stepped up. You got Alshon Jeffries, who was balling. Torrey Smith, deep threat. And Nelson Agholor, who was super trash his previous 2 years, was pretty good this year. So, you know, you tip your hats off to him.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like, you know, the way they kind of put that roster together, it almost felt like NBA style, where you had, like, your young nucleus of Carson Wentz and, you know, Fletcher Cox. You just kind of add, like, these veterans, some of these other teams. Like, you know, they added Blunt. They traded for Jay Ajayi. They brought in Torrey Smith. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they brought in, like, the veterans, like, the right veterans to match up with the young guys. And then it just kind of all came together. It was It's just crazy. But, I mean, how do you see the Eagles, you know, competing next season?
Oh, they're going to be back. Oh, yeah, they're going to be back.
Because they stocked up. They kept Nick Foles. You know, they added Michael Bennett. What do you think about them keeping Nick Foles?
I feel like they had to because they didn't know they didn't know, I guess, how healthy Wentz would be. So they had to. But definitely, once you see that Wentz is back, oh, Foles is getting flipped for a first rounder. Easy.
A first rounder.
Yeah.
Who's giving that up?
Cleveland? Super Bowl against Tom Brady? Yeah, that's first round pick. Easy. Someone's going to take him.
I don't know.
Am I saying he's worth the first rounder? That's different. But is he going to get one? Yeah.
That would be interesting. I mean, I'd rather say he beat Bill Belichick's non-Malcolm Butler defense as opposed to him beating Tom Brady. I think Belichick beat Tom Brady.
You're not wrong because I wanted you guys to win. So the fact that y'all didn't play Malcolm Butler, who was the hero in a previous Super Bowl because of ego, yeah. For someone who's considered maybe the greatest coach in the history of professional football, that wasn't a bright idea.
He took an L that night. And we're still talking about it now, which is crazy.
Oh, I agree. I was pissed. I was like, I know he's not hurt. We just gonna bench him for real?
You know, it's crazy because it's like Belichick kind of has a little curse where it's like, even when you see players leave, most of them don't talk negatively about him. Like you're starting to see a little bit of the cracks now, but like to this point, you rarely ever hear a player come out and just like rip Belichick.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Giants, man. What do you think about them, you know, keeping Eli Manning at this point in his career? And I mean, kind of, what do you think about the drama last season about them benching him for Geno Smith and Ben McAdoo?
Geno's trash. Eli should have never been benched for that man. That's number one. They try to do things to shake things up, and it blew up in their face. Again, they also got bit with the injury bug because going into the year, that's who I had winning the division. I felt like they were the most talented team in our division. And if they stay healthy, they can still be the most talented team. Odell's a top three receiver to me. If Saquon pans out to be a good or great back, Eli would have a good back. And the last time he had that, he won 2 Super Bowls. Their defense is still really good, especially their secondary. I feel like they'll be fine. The NFC East might put 3 teams in the playoffs this year. You mark what I say.
Well, the NFL is always more fun when the NFC East is lit. I like what goes on in that division. I mean, you got 4 teams and you have 4 franchises that are in the top 10 markets in the country. So obviously they get a lot of attention. But I always feel like the NFL, like kind of like with the NBA, I feel like the NBA is better when the Lakers and the Celtics and the Sixers, whatever, are relevant. I think the NFL is better when the NFC East is relevant, when all your teams are just kind of competing and going at it.
Yeah. I agree.
So it makes for the best Sunday night football games, I'll give you that.
They sure do.
But, I mean, let's get to that last team in the NFC East, though, the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, just Dez Bryant getting cut, and this man is still looking for a roster, bro. Like, what is going on? I really thought that Dez was going to get signed by the Redskins. Because I'm just going to tell you
right now. We don't need him.
But listen, Dan Snyder is the type of owner that goes after guys like this. Like, Dan likes to bring in those big names, whether they're way over the hill or, I mean, Deion Sanders, Albert Haynesworth.
But if you notice, he hasn't done that in a while.
I mean,
in years.
The last guy he brought in like that was, Josh Norman. I can't say that. Like, I mean, Josh Norman was kind of a hothead coming into that team. You know, he had the whole thing going on with Odell. You know, like, you brought in a guy that the Panthers didn't want. And I feel like part of the reason why the Panthers didn't want him was because they kind of thought, yo, like, I mean, they didn't want to pay him, but at the same time, like, there was a little bit of, like, you know, this guy might be a little more trouble than he's worth. But at the same time, I mean, DeSean Jackson, they signed him after, you know, he was accused of, you know, the whole gang affiliation situation. Albert Haynesworth, like, it's in this man's blood to go after a guy like Dez.
Nah, I definitely didn't want Dez. Because Dez isn't the same. Dez's game is all physicality. Once his injuries mess that up, he's useless. Dez never was able to run great routes. Dez had decent hands, but his physicality is what separated him from other receivers. Once you lose that ability, now you're mortal like everyone else.
So you think he's done? You don't think Dez has any gas left in the tank?
I'm not saying. I mean, he's still good for what's the real? He's good in doses, like in the red zone. Yeah, he's dope. That's probably it, though.
I mean, I feel like the Redskins could have used the red zone threat. I mean, like, it's you want to have depth, right? Because I mean, you want to. That big body guy can just kind of go up and get in the red zone. They could have used someone like that.
Yeah, but we can do that with Dotson or with Reed.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's like, Dez talked about how he was going to play the Cowboys twice a year. So immediately that just, first thing I thought about was like the Redskins. Like, just get that proven veteran. You know, I mean, it sounds like you have a lot of faith in these young guys. I'm not sold on Doxson or I'm not sold on Doxson yet. That's why I was thinking, okay, like bringing a guy like Dez, right, who you already know is proven, you know, might be a little not who he used to be, but like this is a guy that still wants it and he definitely wants the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh yeah, I agree.
So what do you see from the Cowboys next season, though? I mean, like with Zeke and Zeke's situation and Dak coming and back into his third year now.
I think Zeke's going to have another good year. I just don't know their receivers. You lose Dez. You lose Witten to retirement. Who do you have? Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley? They did sign Allen Hurns, and I like Hurns. Hurns would automatically be the number one. But is Hurns really the answer? I don't know.
Who's your early pick to win the NFC East then?
Nah, it's still Philly. I'm not delusional. I would say Philly, the Giants, then us, then Dallas.
That division is going to be interesting next season. If I had to give my early pick, I got to say Philly takes it. If I had to pick a second team, I'd probably go Cowboys just because I feel like I expect Dak and Zeke. I think Jason Garrett's going to know how to work those two, and I think with their offense and that offensive line, I think those guys find a way. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs, but I see them having a better season than the Giants because I don't know about Eli, man. I mean, you talked about Eli, you know, needing a great running back. I feel like, you know, he's always needed that front seven as well. Like, because even when the Giants went back in 2011, they didn't have a great defense statistically, but they were able to get after the quarterback. And, you know, they didn't have a great running game either that season, numbers-wise. But, like, it just feels like it enough of it came together when it needed to for it to be able to work. I think you give Eli a good offensive line, give him a front seven that can get after the quarterback, and, you know, some big body receivers that can just make contested catches and plays, they can do it. But I'm just like, I gotta go. I know what I'm getting from Zeke and Dak, and I think those guys will have the second best season than Philly.
All right, we'll see what happens.
Your Redskins got to show me a little more before I can put my faith back in them.
And that's perfectly fine. I'm all here for that.
Word, bro. Let me see. I think we I did want to ask you this last question. This is going to go back to basketball just one more time, but now that LeBron's out of the Eastern Conference, what do you look at the East as a whole? What do you expect from the Eastern Conference this year? Cuz now it feels like it's wide open.
It is wide open, and it's going to be fun. Everyone seemingly has a shot, but realistically the teams with the best chances are the Celtics, the Sixers, those are the top two. Then you put, like, the Wizards, Bucks, and Raptors in the second tier. Oh, you can put the Pacers in there in the second tier, and then everyone else is free game. It's going to be fun. You might see some real rivalries created off this. Because now everyone knows that they can make something happen.
See, it's crazy. I wonder how many, like, primetime games are actually going to be shown with the Eastern Conference. Because, I mean, I just feel like the East, like, I've always been someone who's loved parity. Like, and that's kind of what bothered me about, you know, just the whole LeBron dominating the East. Like, you're not seeing him be able to take him down. But I'll admit, like, you know, down the stretch, I really started to become a fan of the LeBron storyline because I just feel like it made the East that much more interesting. It's like, you know, what's LeBron thinking? Like, what's what's LeBron going to tweet about after this game? Is LeBron all in? Is he going to leave? Like, can the Celtics actually beat him this time? Are the Wizards actually able to make this? You know, I just felt like as his team started to get a little weaker, it just made, like, I feel like his team was weak enough where it was fun because, okay, you started to see some kinks in the armor, right? That this man could actually be taken down. But I feel like now that he's gone, it's like, all right, like, it's, I wanted to beat the king. Now he's gone and you can't beat the king to show you're actually better than him. So it's for me, it's disappointing. I'm not mad that he left, but I'm just like, I want, for my team specifically, I wanted to see us take him down because I thought we were going to win game 7. I was confident we were going to win that. We were going to win game 7.
I knew y'all weren't winning. I was like, there's no way with an NBA Finals on the line, LeBron's going to lose this game. And he took over. And shout out Jeff Green, man, PG County. You know, be out here.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's back in PG, so let's see what he does this season.
He'll be all right. Hometown hero, baby.
My challenge to your Washington Wizards: win 50 games this season and finish as a top 3 seed.
I'm with you on that challenge. I just don't know what Wizards we gonna get. That's all. If we play like we need to play, we should be fine. But we never do, so we just gotta stay tuned.
I mean, it's gonna be fun. Like, I feel like these days it almost feels like the off season is more interesting than the actual regular season.
I mean, in a way, in one way.
Besides, like opening night, Christmas, and then that stretch run after the All Star break. Those are my favorite parts of the regular season.
Yeah.
But yeah, bro, I feel like we covered everything today, man. And man, I love getting your knowledge out here, bro. It's always a pleasure. Like, this is great for my podcast, man. And I wanna give you a shout out, man. Everybody, follow my man Dapper J's podcast at. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry, Jarrell. Like, my father. I know you probably got to get to your other show soon, but I did real quick. Just kind of want you to, like, you know, your. I don't know if you got a couple minutes, but I wanted to talk about you know, your podcast real quick. You know. Let my audience know what your podcast is about. You know, like, just, you know, 1,000 Jumpers. Because honestly, bro, like, I love that. I love that name, 1,000 Jumpers. And, you know, to my audience, Jarrell Leeper has his own podcast as well. And, you know, I'd love for him to speak a little bit about it because it's a really interesting podcast. I tune into it a lot. So I want my audience to hear a little bit about your podcast, bro.
Yeah, so podcast has been going on for like 2 years now. It's me and my co-host, Robert George, or Bobby G. We talk sports, we talk music, we talk pop culture, we talk what's going on Twitter. And I think me working in news, I also can throw in that news element because if it's a story that really affects me and touches me, we'll talk about that. How the podcast came to be. It's funny, so I graduated college, and Rob one day tweets me. He was like, yo, we want to do a podcast. Like, he was like, yo, Dapper J and I, we want to do a podcast by the end of the year. We'll figure it out. He tweets this, and I'm just like, okay, I guess I have to figure this out, because I know he's not. So I figured it out, but we didn't have a name. And I've known Rob since 10th grade. Like, that's my bro. So I had typed in our Twitter names. And I was looking up at all the things that we've ever tweeted each other about and see what came up. And it was one day I caught him on the timeline lurking because of my weird hours. I would see him talk to girls on the timeline, but no one's up except me. So I saw it, and I caught him out on it, like, or later that morning, like probably like around like 11. And he was like, chill, man, let me get these shots off in peace. Hashtag 1,000 jumpers. I was like, Rod, I was like, Rod, I'm titling our podcast. And he was like, what? I'm like, 1,000 jumpers. Like, yo, that's it. I'm like, yeah. And it's two meanings. One, we talk sports, so obviously that's what 1,000 jumpers comes in. But two, if you shoot 1,000 jumpers a day, you're going to get better. And the goal is to become the best you can be. So it's a double meaning in our double entendre. Yeah, we try to record every week. We didn't record this week. He's actually here, but we just been busy. So we're probably going to record next week. We're probably going to do like the Scorpion review for Drake's album. We always have fun when we do Drake reviews. Other than that, yeah, man, it's been going strong. On iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, hashtag 1,000, just the number 1,000, 1,000, jumpers. And just look us up and check us out, man. That's pretty much that.
Jarrell's got a great podcast. Like I said, I've tuned into it every now and then. I think if you're enjoying my podcast, you will definitely love this podcast. And, you know, Jarrell, bro, it was a pleasure having you on for the show, man. Like I said, I always appreciate your knowledge and your forte. You teach me about sports. I just want you to know that as well. Like, listen to you, man. Like, you're also teaching me. And I know you definitely got, you definitely taught my audience a lot tonight. And, yeah, bro.
That means a lot, man.
Absolutely, man. Like it's the truth. And your podcast inspired me to start a podcast. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, when you had yours going for a little while, I was like, man, you know what? Like, maybe I should get one going for myself as well. So I want you to know you've definitely been an inspiration to me as well. And, you know, I'm proud of the work you've been putting in at WJ Lit, man. I'm proud you got your promotion, bro. And I see you grinding, man. It just, you know, it's inspiring me to grind too.
No, that means a lot, man, because you the fam. So I'm glad I was just able to play my part. And it's only going to get better for both of us. Like, your podcast going to go up. My podcast, we're going to continue to do what we need to do. Merchandise, more merchandise coming, so we got bucket hats. I was able to wear that when I was in Mexico. That was kind of cool. I'm like, yo, I'm really wearing my own merch. This is kind of dope. But, nah, man, I appreciate it a lot. Thank you for having me. Just, again, we don't speak as often as we should. So when you hit me up, I'm like, this is a podcast, I'm like, shit, that's all you had to say. Like, I'm game. We going to knock this out. So I'm just thankful for that.
Word, bro, and I'm thankful, man. I'm gonna try to tune into your show on The Focus later.
Yeah, definitely. If you want to write a suggestion or a comment, just hit me up. You know, I got you.
Absolutely, and I'll be looking out for that Drake review too, bro.
Yeah, it's going to be hilarious. You know, that's definitely going to be the next episode. Hopefully we get that done next week. So, yeah, just stay tuned. Look out for that, man.
Absolutely. I'll be on the lookout, bro. All
right, homie.
All right, homie. Be easy.
Likewise.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to episode 4 of the Rich in Facts podcast. Please like, share, and subscribe to all of my content on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, YouTube. I'm all over the place. Love you all, and you'll see good things from me soon. Take care.